The show was moving in another direction.
You kind of have to keep up with it.
How am I supposed to know how you want to conduct the program?
You're just making stuff up.
Something's going to hit the something.
You go, wow, what happened?
Silence! Light down!
You have somewhere to be.
I've traveled all across the fabric of space-time.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
It's the next generation of the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. 12 more days until your taxes are due. I just got them finished today. So, let me see. I got $500 back, but I owe the state of California $283. And then I owe the guy who did the taxes $700. I didn't make out so well.
Sounds like you're a loser.
Sounds like I'm a loser, yes. 18 more. Well, you're gonna be SOL if you don't do it in 12 days. I mean, I was down to the line. I hate doing taxes. I hate it.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah.
My wife is crunching the numbers right now.
Oh, my God. You know, there was a story out that was a couple of weeks ago, and it was like something like 70% of all Americans would have an IRS tattoo put on their body somewhere if they didn't have to deal with the IRS again. Those are great stats. 18 more days until the Game of Thrones. Anybody care?
I can't wait.
I know you can. 21 more days until Secretary's Day. Do we still celebrate Secretary's Day?
Is Secretary's like a word that people are saying still?
Yeah, I don't know. That's inappropriate.
I've never heard of it.
Okay. Thank you. There's our San Francisco State intern.
Sounds very Mad Men.
Dwayne, yeah. 32 more days until Mother's Day.
Aww.
You've heard of that.
Yes.
I think so. It rings a bell.
You better. And 51 more days until the Memorial Day weekend.
Yay!
All right. Let me see here. I played the Fitbit, the weight loss system. And which reminds me, because you keep talking and bragging about how much you're working out.
Well, I'm not bragging. Yeah, I go to the gym because I'm trying to be a little more healthy, you know.
But you're not overweight. No. So we were talking about this. He's like a gym rat. You're one of those guys.
I carry it well. I am a little overweight.
Tell me how you're overweight.
My doctor told me that I was overweight.
He told you?
Yes.
How tall are you?
So I'm like, I'm going to the gym. I'm six feet tall.
Okay, and how much do you weigh?
I weighed 217 pounds in December.
Okay, that's a
little
overweight.
But now I'm down to like 190.
Okay, ooh, that's good.
Like hovering around there. I've really been pushing myself to get into the gym. I ran a half marathon in Oakland a few weeks ago, and I'm going to run more of them.
I'll piss off. Big show off. So anyway, let me see if you're doing the right things at the gym. These are the only five machines that you ever need to use at the gym. The rowing machine.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
The pull-up machine.
I hate pull-ups. They're like the worst.
That's a definite.
Pull-ups blow. The cable pulley system.
What's that? The
cable pulley station.
Oh, I know what you mean, where you can do a bunch of different exercises with one pulley structure.
Right.
And it has attachments over there, all that stuff.
The preacher curl machine.
Preacher?
What is that?
I don't know. That's where you do curls with your arms on a padded thing with... You target your biceps. Oh, that's that thing. If you like to use dumbbells, that's fine, dumbbell. But the machine keeps you from swinging them and using the momentum to cheat. Okay.
Or hurting yourself. Like I could see myself doing.
I'm really good at the leg press machine. That's my thing.
Same.
I have cankles that can kill.
And you feel so strong.
So look out! Yes, I've got Hillary cankles. Let me see. Top five ways people waste time at the gym. Checking your phone, taking too many water breaks, watching other people's exercise, waiting for equipment, and resting too long between sets.
I really hate the checking the phone thing. I don't know about you guys, but at the gym, when you just want to get on a machine and like somebody's checking their phone, you're like, come on.
Well, they're changing their music, don't you think, or whatever they're listening to.
But I want to get in, get out, and get done. It's just like having sex.
Watching people's exercise. Yes, watching people's exercise. That's the only reason to go to the gym as far as I'm concerned. We've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's some nice-looking folks at the gym.
Now, here are my excuses for not working out, other than that I'm not allowed to because of my surgery, for a year. But, boy, that clock is ticking. August 1st will be here quicker than I want it to be.
And then I'll see you at the gym, sir.
No, I hate the gym. I hate the gym. Let me see here. A bad day at work. The gym is too intimidating. No one to work out with. The gym is too busy. No money. Don't like exercising. Bad weather. Too tired. No motivation. No time.
I think no motivation probably covers a lot of that.
Yes, I think so,
I think the
too.
Intimidating thing goes into it as well.
intimidating?
A lot of my friends don't like to go to the gym because they don't like people watching them work out.
Well, what part? They're probably skinny and beautiful.
Everything. They're like, I don't know if my form's right.
Oh, for God's
sake. I don't like it when people look at me when I lift this because I might not be lifting it right.
Well, you'll find this a little odd, but I run funny.
No, you?
Oh, my God. I don't know why I've got like a weird stride going.
All right.
Yeah.
Your gait's a little odd. That's fine.
Yes, my gait's a little... My gait's a little queer. It's a little coy. It's a little odd. Yeah. So I don't know what that's all about, but, you know, I used to run on the treadmill forever. But then, you remember during the 90s, everybody was on the treadmill and everyone on the treadmill and all the treadmill. And then all of a sudden the millennium came around and my doctor said to me, he says, you're not still running on that damn treadmill, are you? I said, no, why? But I can tell you have because when you're about 60, your knee's going to need to be replaced. So those people who run on treadmills all the time or hard surfaces, that's what you have to look forward to.
Oh, lovely. Yes. I actually use the elliptical a lot, believe it or not, and that's a lot lighter on your knees, which is good.
Yes.
The stair climber.
So hopefully when I'm 60, I won't need new knees for that reason.
You just need to swim.
Yes.
Yes, low resistance, no resistance. That's it. Okay, let's talk about Tinder because I can't stand it. Everybody's already hitting me on Generation Drex, and you can tweet me and join me at Generation Drex, D-R-E-X. What's the deal with the new website that lets anyone spy on Tinder users? I mean, I don't think it's as private as everybody thinks.
Well, it's not. It's called Swipe Buster.
Right.
And it promises to let Tinder users find out whether people they know have an account on the app, and it like opens the door to stalking, basically.
Yes, it's $4.99. So you can let someone see whether the target is using Tinder. You can narrow down the results by first name, age, gender, and their location.
That's so shady.
That's super creepy.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, but it doesn't do so by hacking into Tinder or even by, let me see here, scrapping the app manually, or scraping it, I guess. Instead, it searches the database using Tinder's official API, which is intended for use by third-party developers who want to write the hard, you know, all of that, the software and stuff like that. Yeah. So we know third parties are always involved in apps and businesses like Tinder.
Yeah.
But this is just a little weird. It's a little creepy, I think.
Yeah. We're like, where does concept come from? Like, why?
Right.
Why do you care if someone has a Tinder?
Well, don't you think there's...
Unless you're in a relationship or something.
Right. And so do you want people to know? And so here's the deal with this. Tell me if I'm wrong. So if I pay the $5 to Swipe Buster, I can, everybody I like on there, I can find out their real name, their age, their gender, and where they're located.
Yep. And their last current location. So... Oh, they're at Pete's Coffee. Okay, I'm going to go there.
Makes you want to delete Tinder, right?
Yeah. I mean,
no, but you know what? You could be coy about it because you could say, oh, this person's hot. And then, you know, if they're over there at Pete's Coffee, just show up and you know it's them. Don't say that you found them on Tinder. Hey, how you doing?
But like, it's a casual thing.
Aren't we having lovely weather today? Would you like to continue this day and make it even lovelier?
Oh, my God. So bad.
Why pick on just the Tinder people? Do they have this thing for Grindr, too? I mean...
It doesn't say that, but you would have to think so.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. You would have to think so, right?
I would hope so. I mean, I think everybody should be
trying
equally
to make it
picked
fair?
On.
Yeah. You trying to make it fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got other things to discuss, including we're going to come up and we're going to be talking about, you know... I know that this is a big deal. I want to talk about Obamacare. A lot of doctors, and by the way, we're not going to be boring about this because I want to go right at it because, you know, almost half of all doctors give Obamacare a D or an F, and it's a big deal. We don't know where any of the candidates stand, so we're going to talk about it for a brief bit. But then we're going to get to the good stuff with Lisa Durden. And that is good stuff, by the way, but I'm just saying Charlize Theron says being pretty is discriminating in Hollywood. Janet could be incubating at the age of 49. How is that possible? I mean, everybody's saying surrogate, but yet she's tweeting out things like, I have to cancel my tour because my doctor needs to be in me to be in perfect health. And
we're going to hear the audio. It's interesting for sure.
Oh, she does speak.
Oh, yeah. She put out a video to all of her fans apologizing that she's canceling the second leg of her tour.
Justin Bieber has appropriated dreadlocks. And you know what? I want to say this before we go to the break. Look, he heard about the San Francisco State thing 2 days ago, and yesterday he decided to get locks just because of that.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Let me get some publicity and some attention really quick.
Come on. Who do you think you're kidding?
So you may have been listening to the Drek Show.
Right. Yeah. So all of a sudden today, guess who has locks? It's the Bieber. All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. But we'll continue on the Drek Radio Show. First, it's Lee Graham with a look at traffic.
The next generation of KGO 810. Now, back to the Drek Radio Show. Drek Radio Show.
And I want you to listen to this. This is amazing. So this woman completely let Florida Governor Rick Scott have it at a Starbucks yesterday. And this was posted. And he was in Gainesville getting a coffee when a woman there recognized him. She started to scream at him for cutting Medicaid to low-income citizens back in 2013, which would not allow her to get Obamacare. And then she called him an a-hole. Listen, to take a listen to this.
In fact, you cut Medicaid so I couldn't get Obamacare. You're an a-hole. You don't care about working people. I'm not talking to you. You don't care about working people. You should be ashamed to show your face around here.
We got a million jobs.
A million jobs? Great. Who here has a great job?
You should.
Or is looking forward to finishing school? You really feel like you have a job coming up? You stripped women of access to public health care. Shame on you, Rick Scott. We depend on those services. Rich people like you don't know what to do. When poor people like us need health services, you cut them. Shame on you, Rick Scott. You're an embarrassment to our state.
Dr. Elena George is the author of Big Medicine, and I thank you to the show, Dr. Elena. Thank you for joining me.
Pleasure to be with you.
That's quite a sound clip. And and it seems to me that's the state of the attitude of a lot of Americans when it comes to health care.
I know. It's unfortunate that her reality, or what she thinks coverage means, is not really the reality when you're sitting in a doctor's office or trying to get access to health care. Unfortunately, you know, the Affordable Care Act, I think the heart of it was in the right place. Everybody wants to make sure that you're taken care of, you don't go bankrupt in the process. But the way they went about it and the way they set it up, it actually doubles down on the worst aspects of healthcare. I used to see the people who have the Affordable Care Act as their healthcare plan, and we were in a position where they wouldn't be covered. They kept saying, not medically necessary, experimental. They literally denied care after the fact, and it became such a hassle that I had to stop taking it. So what they really need to do is ask doctors who practice medicine and patients, what really needed to be changed in the healthcare system to really fix it. We were never brought to the table. So unfortunately, the problems are bigger. And now they're mandating that people buy this stuff and they can't even afford to use it.
So what is the answer to Obamacare? Because we can't really seem to get a straight position out of any of the candidates. It's there.
I know.
We don't want it taken away. I think we want it fixed. As a doctor, how would you fix it?
I would actually go around it. There's a whole second phase or another path of healthcare that has come up called direct primary care, or third-party free practices, cash pay practices, that are actually helping people get quality care for a fraction of what they're paying their commercial insurance plans. For example, there are primary care doctors who charge you $80 a month. It's like a health membership. It covers everything that you have done in their office, from the time you visit them, x-rays, blood work, everything. So you're not worried about getting big-ticket items in a hospital setting or not foregoing your care and getting sicker. That's the future. And I'm a specialist. I actually have a version of it in my practice, in ear, nose, and throat. So for $85 a month, anything I do in my office is covered for that. You can come in as many times as you need to. Hearing tests, telescopic examination, taking wax out. I mean, I think that's affordable for most people. And I think that would actually capture those folks who can't afford crazy deductibles but still need to be covered. And doctors are doing this all over the country, but we're not getting out there, or people don't know that we exist.
Well, I don't think that a lot of people know this, but, you know, wealthy folks have been doing this for a long time where they have what has been referred to as concierge doctors, and they pay them several thousand dollars a year. And as you said, they can go see them anytime for anything, and they're always on call. They're always there for them. How would that work for a low-income person, though, if they did
$80
not
a month.
Okay.
Well, $80 a month is not thousands.
No.
And
no, it's not.
You know, and you're paying $200, $300, $400 a month for a commercial insurance plan at this point, on average, with an out-of-pocket of up to $2,000, $10,000 deductible. So if you think about that, for a healthy person, a young person, being in a direct primary care practice setting is a way around this whole fiasco. And there's another really hidden gem that people don't know about called medical cost sharing. That is actually written into the letter of the law. It's part of the Affordable Care Act. It initially started off as small church ministries who covered their own members. But there's actually a company called Liberty HealthShare, which your folks who listen to your show should Google. Go to libertyoncall.org. It's actually taken that concept and expanded it. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to belong to a church. You just have to follow the guidelines of, I will cover the other member's health care needs. And what happens is it accesses the cheapest part of health care. This is a concept to be clear here. The cost of health care that we're paying, that most people pay, is artificially inflated. As soon as the insurance companies get involved, that third party raises the cost for administrative fees,
absolutely,
et cetera.
Yes.
Only 7 cents of the health care dollar actually goes to the doctor. 7 cents. The rest is spent on advertising, CEO, you name it. And when you pay out of pocket, you get rid of all that middleman and you get the real price of health care. So I can send a patient to a freestanding surgery center or a radiology center, and they're paying a fraction for the same procedure as if I'd sent them to the hospital. It's outrageous. And the only way that I don't believe that government's going to be the answer to this problem, it's people making wise, conscious decisions about their healthcare dollar.
Okay.
And if they start putting pressure, that's how the system will change.
All right. I've got to take a quick break, and we'll continue this conversation. It's very interesting. 808-0810. So it's kind of like a medical membership as opposed to insurance. And if you have any thoughts or input, 808-0810 is the number, and we'll be right back on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Drex on KGO 810.
All right, we're back, and we're talking about, well, big healthcare changes, because let's face it, a lot of the candidates really aren't talking about what they're going to do. Hillary will probably want to fix Obamacare. Bernie will eliminate it and just give us all universal healthcare. And then I don't know what the other guys are doing. I can't seem to get a straight answer out of them. But we are having a conversation with Dr. Elena George. She is the author of Big Medicine, The Cost of Corporate Control, and How Doctors and Patients Working Together Can Rebuild a Better System. And so you were talking about basically a health membership club where I would pay you $80 a month, and then you would see me for anything and everything. But let me ask you this. What about catastrophic things?
Well, that's where the medical cost sharing could be used. Their plans cover up to $1 million per occurrence per year. Or you could also do things like Aflac, where you buy a supplemental policy, which will cover you for anything like a cancer diagnosis, heart attack, stroke. We have a policy like that for our office. $250,000 check just gets written to you if you come up with, God forbid, one of those diagnoses. It covers your ICU stays. It's less than $20 a month for a policy like that. So you can actually mix and match a little bit. You know, whatever fits you and what your needs are, and your age, whatever health issues you have, there's a lot of ways around just taking what they give you in the insurance side of it. They're really in the business now of denying care, taking a premium and shifting the cost to the patient. And, you know, we talk about the R word, rationing, but it's also self-rationing. I've had people who don't go through with procedures, don't get labs done, because they have to pay so much out of pocket on top of their premiums. So I just want people to understand there is no, you know, awesome thing just having an insurance card. They control you. They control the power of the purse. They control your access, and it's gotten worse under the Affordable Care Act. The way around it is to take your power back. Start making decisions that you get to decide what your money gets used
well,
for.
Well, let's face it. We need our politicians to do this for us, and they need to take control. I understand your concern, but I don't know how all of us as individuals can rally around and, circle the 10 of the insurance companies.
Oh, listen, that's the way they want you to believe. These plans have been around for 16, 17 years. It's not new. They're just now being utilized by people who get it. So I'm not going to cite and practice what I preach. I joined Liberty HealthShare as a member. My office staff is now on it. I cover them for their health care needs. I could not afford to do it as a small business.
And are you looking to do this nationally where it crosses all state lines?
It does. It's all state lines. So you can have it now. If you go to that website, look it up. And and you can see any doctor you want. You can go to any hospital you want because you're paying cash. So there is no network.
Okay.
That's the cool part.
We're going to take some calls here. Sonia in Berkeley, thank you for holding. You're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO.
I disagree. I don't know what your agenda is. I love Obamacare. It's one of the best things that ever happened in this country. And I'm telling you, you can get Obamacare for $85 a month or less. It's based on income. It covers everything, hospitalization, et cetera. You can get a Kaiser Silver plan that I know personally, $85 a month, covers everything. So, people that want to bash Obamacare or affordable care, I feel it was a great thing. It took a lot of work. And I was going to vote for Bernie Sanders, but if he wants to scrap it, I'll vote for Hillary.
Okay, thank you very much. And I think a lot of people might agree with her because I think one of the problems with, feeling the burn is that Bernie wants to make, healthcare universal. And the problem with that is you have to first dump Obamacare, and that opens the door for the Republicans to really screw everything up. And all of us end up with nothing again.
Well, I want to be clear. I'm not saying get rid of Obamacare. All right, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying there's an alternative for those that it doesn't work for people who can't afford it for whatever reason, who find that they're not covered for things that they have. It's an alternative. You should make a conscious choice. That's all I'm saying. If you want it, keep it.
Well, I feel really bad. I feel bad for people who are in their late 50s or 60s or whatever their age may be, and they only work for health insurance. They want to enjoy their time off for the rest of their life. They may have saved their money all their lives, and they could live a modest lifestyle, but yet they can't afford the insurance or get the insurance on their own because, let's face it, if they're, if they're worth $50,000 a year or something, well, they can't get Obamacare. So then they have to pay the $1,500 a month, but yet they can't afford that either.
But if they were to choose some of these other options, they are now carved into the Affordable Care Act. So that choice, you won't be fined. You don't have to spend any extra money out of pocket. You're covered. But, I'm an insider. I see this every day. One of the things that people don't know is that if you do get a subsidy from Obamacare and you get a job and you make more money the next year, you actually have to pay back what you got in that subsidy. It's not gift, it's a loan. Same thing with Medicare and Medicaid. If you pass away, your estate, your loved ones will have to pay back the cost of that hospitalization. So it's not like you're getting a lot. There's not many doctors that take Medicaid anymore. And so you're stuck in these hospital clinics, not a lot of choice. I've seen patients.
Well, this happens here in California. This happens here in California with Medi-Cal, where we hear that these Medi-Cal patients have such a difficult time.
It's all across the country. It's not just Medi-Cal.
Right.
But that's what Obamacare is. It's Medicaid for all, subsidized by the government.
Right.
So it's from a doctor perspective, it's not the best patient. You can't provide the best patient care because you're limited by what's on their formulary. How long we have to be treated before you can actually do something to help somebody. It's very limiting, and that's one of the reasons why doctors can't take it, especially private doctors. You can't keep your business open and take care of your patients.
Oh, I hear the doctors complain about it all the time. Yeah, I'm in the doctor's office all the time, so I hear it. Lisa from Gilroy, yes, you have a comment for Dr. Elena George. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. One way that you could get to single payer through the Affordable Care Act without exposing the risk of Republicans screwing everything up is to add it as a public option that people can choose among their many choices. And over time, as more people move to the public option, it would crowd out the private insurers and leave us at a point where we could switch fully to a single-payer system.
Very good. Yes. Would you like to respond? Go ahead, Dr. Elena.
Well, my problem with the single-payer system is that you switch out the commercial insurance for the government. They get to decide winners and losers like that, and they're going to decide what medications can be covered, what diseases can be covered, because it's all about cost-effectiveness. And you're going to find that you're not going to have as much choice. You just like the UK system, they wait forever to get treated, and it's a lot of morbidity unnecessarily because of cost. And it doesn't work as well as people being able to choose where they go, make a deal directly with the doctor, and actually, in some instances, barter. I barter in my practice.
Yes, I've read that about you. What you do is very generous, and there should be more doctors out there like you. Unfortunately, what you said earlier is the truth. They're being squeezed. I mean, basically out of business sometimes. It doesn't pay to work.
Well, we've gone from 55% of doctors across the country being independent, solo, or a small group, to only 30%. The rest have left the profession, or they become employees of hospitals. And once they
or the corporation, yes.
Exactly. Corporate-driven health care is a horrible thing. Their fiduciary responsibility is to the hospital and not to the patient. That is against the doctor-patient relationship, against the Hippocratic Oath. And
I think
that's a horrible thing that's happening to us.
Yeah, okay. I have a personal story, but I've been into it enough before. I had a perforated duodenum last year, and I'm part of the machine now. So, and I think the insurance cost is somewhere around $500,000 and counting.
Oof, wow.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah. But I'm in that machine, and it is a machine, by the way. Yeah.
It is.
Yes, it is indeed. So I know firsthand what you're speaking about, and you're speaking to David in Santa Rosa. Good evening. You're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO.
How you doing?
Very good. Thank you for calling.
All right. So I've been listening to this, and one of your callers not too long ago said he pays a very low premium, whatever it was, $35 a month, and he gets all kinds of stuff done. And I can appreciate that. I have a sister who had to have a hip replacement. She doesn't have a job, and she was able to get it completed. But who's paying for that? I'm paying for it. Before Obamacare, my premiums were about 30% less than what I'm paying now. So I'm having to forego procedures on myself so others can have them done who don't earn as much. That's very frustrating to me. The system doesn't work.
Go ahead, doctor.
Well, as I said at the beginning, they doubled down on the most expensive aspects of the system. They empowered the hospitals, the insurance companies, big pharma. I mean, in the law, it's written that if you have a health savings account, you have to use it to buy brand name prescription drugs. What sense does that make? That means you're paying more than you need to. No generics are covered. Your health savings account, if you and your doctor decide you want a procedure done, but the insurance company denies it, you can't use your own money to have the procedure done. That's some little tidbits that you don't see when you get your insurance plan. And I agree with the gentleman. He's absolutely right. But the answer to that is to know that there's, again, a transparent parallel system. People should go to Google Surgery Center of Oklahoma. That is a freestanding surgery center where their prices are on the website, and they include from the time you walk in to the time you're discharged, doctor fee, anesthesia fee, all supplies are covered. And it's a fraction of what you're going to pay in a hospital setting. And they're having such success that in their community, the hospitals, the big hospitals have dropped their prices to be competitive. That's how you put – they only understand money, guys. If you starve the beast, that's when they come to the table and listen to you.
Well,
and as long as we think we have no choice, we're going to keep feeding them.
In concluding this, are there any plans from any of the candidates that you support?
You know, I'm apolitical, but I did look at the platform for Donald Trump and his health savings account. I thought that was pretty inventive. You get to use it as wealth, pass it to your loved ones. You can share it amongst your family members. So it's not just locked with one person. You can put as much money into it as you want to. And he's moving a little bit more towards transparency, listing your prices and that sort of thing.
Right, and I do agree with him. And he also wants to make it universal across the country so we can cross state lines, because the you can't cross state lines thing is just insane.
Well, you know what? That's a little bit of a misconception. There are only five insurance companies now in the country. There were dozens before the Affordable Care Act. They collude with each other. It doesn't matter if you're in California, New York, it's the same Blue Cross. And on our end, they're still gouging the patients and the doctors.
Well, I have to reapply, and then they up my rate, though. I'm pretty darn sure of that, yes.
I'm sure.
Yes.
They're all playing the same game.
Yeah.
But the reason I wrote the book is I want people to understand how we got to this point. There's a lot of emotion. I get that. But I want people to understand it didn't just happen overnight. It was a 20-year slow movement towards centralization, corporatization of healthcare. It's a sixth of the economy, and the insurance companies, the corporate interests control it, and we need to take them out of the equation. And one of the ways we do it is stop paying into their system. And there's solutions in the book. It's not bashing Obamacare. It's about explaining how we got here so you can make a conscious choice.
Well, Obamacare is a good thing. It just needs to be improved upon, and I like what you're talking about. What is the name of your website so we can post
it? You can go to drelainageorge.com. That's E-L-A-I-N-A, George like the man's name, .com.
Okay, we're going to post you on the KGO website for more information. Everybody can go there. And again, she is the author, Dr. Elena George, author of Big Medicine, The Cost of, you won't remember all this, but just remember Big Medicine, The Cost of Corporate Control and How Doctors and Patients Working Together Can Rebuild a Better System, and I hope that you do. Thank you very much, Doctor. I appreciate the conversation.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Good stuff. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the Drex Radio Show. But first, a look at traffic with Lee Graham in the KGO Traffic Center.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Those of you who watch the show for a while know I'm a modern man. I keep up with the latest of everything. But you also know that I'm a fan of tradition. I think it is important for each country to hold on to its cultural uniqueness. But I just learned that one of the world's great traditions is at risk because Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy wants to reduce Spain's 3-hour siesta to 1 hour. Yes. I don't know how to say that in Spanish, but yes. They're just going to have a lunch break like everybody else. Spanish workers would end their day at 6 p.m. instead of 8 p.m. Instead of going home for their midday nap, they'd sleep at their desk like the rest of us. Well, I'm here to say right here, right now, Spain, no es bueno. Don't do it. Don't you realize? You're also threatening an American tradition of making fun of Spain for being a lazy country where nothing gets done. That's important to us. To us, Spain is a fanciful wonderland where everyone sleeps all afternoon and dinner is actually 100 little dinners on tiny plates. You always order too much and still are hungry. When we travel to Spain, we want the convenience of nothing being open in the middle of the day. I'd like to cash a check, please. I'm sorry, senor. The money. She is sleeping.
And it's so true. Who doesn't like a siesta? I don't want anybody to take the siestas away. Siestas are fun, even if they're at your desk. You know what I'm saying? But siesta really is. I think that people take their siestas. The siestas are the memos that are constantly being put out. Stop looking at your Facebook feed all day.
Yeah, and that, if I was in Spain, that would be the only reason I would go to Spain, is so I could have a siesta.
Siestas are great, except it's really weird when you go to one of those countries where, just like he was mentioning, you know, if you go to one of those countries where they have siestas, everything really does close down from, you know, like 10 to 2 or something.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of odd, I have odd things to play for you tonight, and of course I do. So this is a story about a 9-year-old crime reporter. Yes, she's 9. Her name is, I think, Lysaic. She's the 9-year-old reporter from Sealings Grove, Pennsylvania. And she got the big scoop on this big guy on a homicide not far from home. This is really a strange, strange story. So on Saturday, she received a tip about police activity on her nearby 9th Street and headed out with her pen, paper, and camera in hand. She confirmed the details with her neighbors and police and posted a story online before all the competitors. That would be the other newspapers and all of the television stations. Does no one realize that this is a 9-year-old reporting this type of graphic information? One person wrote. So is this in two pieces? How does this work?
No, this is one piece of audio.
Okay, so is this her actually doing the reporting?
This is her talking about her report on the murder, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, let's take a listen to it.
Yesterday, there was a murder in Phoenixville. It happened just a few blocks from my house. I got the tip from a good source that was able to confirm. Then I went straight to the scene and asked neighbors for more information. I worked very hard. Because of my work, I was able to inform the people that there's a terrible murder hours before my competition even got to the scene. In fact, some of these adult red newspapers were reporting the wrong news, or no news at all. All the while, the Orange Street News is out covering the murder. I know this makes some of you uncomfortable, and I know some of you just want me to sit down and be quiet because I'm nine. But if you want me to stop covering news, then you get off your computer and do something about that news. There, is that cute enough for you?
Okay, but she read some tweets, some nasty tweets that were sent her way beforehand, and she was dropping the F-bomb. One of them said, I'm disgusted with this cute little girl who thinks she's a real journalist. What happened to tea parties? 9-year-old girls should be playing with dolls, not trying to be reporters. Perhaps you were too young to understand the difference between decency, respect, and sensationalism. Does no one realize this is a 9-year-old reporting this type of graphic information? I mean, what type of parents are encouraging this kind of behavior? And then the person who wrote this story started with, it's only Wednesday, but there's no way I'll love another story this week more than I love this girl. What? I don't know if I'm horrified, but it bothers me. I mean, what are the parents doing? They allowed the girl to, and by the way, when she was responding to the tweet, she was dropping the F-bomb, wasn't she? Yes. Yeah. Okay, so I want to make sure I get everything right here. But do you want your 9-year-old out reporting on a murder? I mean, isn't that a little bit much?
Probably not, but if she's got the passion, well, as long as she's not out there by herself and getting into a dangerous situation and her parents are with her, I say go, encourage that.
Well, let her go watch Deadpool or something. Not for real Deadpool.
Yeah, I'm really drawn. I'm torn right now because, it's true. It's good that she found her passion at such an early age.
That's
and
nice.
She's good at it.
But murder?
But at the same time, the story, it was probably, imagine if it was, more of a graphic story.
Well,
to cover,
I think it
and
was.
She's only,
yeah.
Yeah, and she's only nine.
Well, it's not like she's getting onto the crime scene, though, and, checking out the body and stuff like
well,
that.
Was,
I mean, she's just talking to police about what's happening.
No. Send her to Deadpool, not the real Deadpool.
Oh,
if
I
you
think
to be a bad parent.
I think the comments are pretty dramatic. I'm
really
guys,
are.
Calm down.
All right. speaking of dramatic, we're going to Lisa Durden, and that's drama. That's coming up next on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.